Welcome back, my friends, to Nancy's Morning Meditations. I'm Nancy Stallard. This is my dog, Mandy. And today we're going to be reading from My Utmost for His Highest by Dr. Oswald Chambers. You can order your own copy of this devotion book simply by going to utmost.org. And I would love to hear comments from you and also how these devotions are increasing your faith in Jesus. You can contact me through my website, nancyjoytoyou.com. That's NancyJoy, the number 2, the letter U.com. Now let's hear from God's Word today. Welcome to My Utmost for His Highest for March 2nd. Have you felt the pain inflicted by the Lord? Let's look at John 21, verse 17. John 21, chapter title is Jesus Reinstates Peter. Let's look at verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted, and when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Have you felt the pain inflicted by the Lord? Have you ever felt the pain inflicted by the Lord at the very center of your being, deep down in the most sensitive area of your life? The devil never inflicts pain there, and neither can sin nor human emotions. Nothing can cut through to that part of our being but the Word of God. Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" Yet he was awakened to the fact that at the center of his personal life, he was devoted to Jesus. And then he began to see what Jesus' patient questioning meant. There was not the slightest bit of doubt left in Peter's mind. He could never be deceived again, and there was no need for an impassioned response, no need for immediate action or an emotional display. It was a revelation to him to realize how much he did love the Lord, and with amazement, he simply said, "Lord, you know all things." Peter began to see how very much he did love Jesus, and there was no need to say, "Look at this or that as proof of my love." Peter was beginning to discover within himself just how much he really did love the Lord. He discovered that his eyes were so fixed on Jesus that he saw no one else in heaven above or earth below. He did not know it until the probing, hurting questions of the Lord were asked. The Lord's questions always reveal the true me to myself. Oh, the wonder of the patient directness and skill of Jesus Christ with Peter. Our Lord never asks questions until the perfect time. Rarely, but probably once in each of our lives, he will back us into a corner where he will hurt us with his piercing questions. Then we will realize that we do love him far more deeply than our words can ever say. And Peter must have felt bad, right? You just think, you asked once, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, I love you." And then he asked again, and then he asked again. But I've heard it said too that, you know why he asked him three times? Because Peter denied Jesus three times. So I think he was kind of giving him three times to say back again, "Lord, I do love you. I do love you." So I know we all kind of come to those points in our lives. So when Jesus does kind of back you into a corner and question that, just share your heart, "Lord, I do love you." And then he knew in his heart, right? Peter knew how much he really did love Jesus and went on to die for him. So I hope that I can be living like that too, knowing that, "God, I do love you so much." And what does he say? When we love Jesus, then what is the answer to that? Go out and feed other people. We don't want to sit around saying, I love Jesus, right? We want to get out there and get busy telling other people, because that's what the Great Commission's all about. He has equipped us to go out, and all that love we have in our heart from Jesus, we need to pour that out to other people. And believe me, there are plenty of people out there who need to hear about it. Everywhere you go, school, work, when you're getting your hair cut, when you're getting your oil changed, when you're at the library, wherever you are, my friend, there are people all around you that need to hear about Jesus. So be brave to do that. Be like Peter and say, "Jesus, I do love you." And then go feed his sheep. Have a great day feeding sheep, and I will see you back here tomorrow. Welcome to My Utmost for His Highest for March 5th. Is He really my Lord? Let's look at Acts 20, verse 24. Acts 20, 24 says, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." Is He really my Lord? Joy comes from seeing the complete fulfillment of the specific purpose for which I was created and born again, not from successfully doing something of my own choosing. The joy our Lord experienced came from doing what the Father sent Him to do. And He says to us, "As the Father has sent me, I also send you," John 20:21. Have you received a ministry from the Lord? If so, you must be faithful to it, to consider your life valuable only for the purpose of fulfilling that ministry. Knowing that you have done what Jesus sent you to do, think how satisfying it will be to hear Him say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant," Matthew 25:21. We each have to find a niche in life, and spiritually, we find it when we receive a ministry from the Lord. To do this, we must have close fellowship with Jesus and must know Him as more than our personal Savior. And we must be willing to experience the full impact of Acts 9:16. "I will show Him how many things He must suffer for my name's sake." "Do you love me? Then feed my sheep," John 21:17. He is not offering us a choice of how we can serve Him. He is asking for absolute loyalty to His commission, a faithfulness to what we discern when we are in the closest possible fellowship with God. If you have received a ministry from the Lord Jesus, you will know that the need is not the same as the call. The need is the opportunity to exercise the call. Oh, I like that. The call is to be faithful to the ministry you received when you were in true fellowship with Him. This does not imply that there is a whole series of differing ministries marked out for you. It does mean that you must be sensitive to what God has called you to do, and this may sometimes require ignoring demands for service in other areas. Ooh, lots of great things in there. But just think, He gave you certain talents and put you in a certain time in a certain place to do a certain ministry. And you're supposed to be doing that. And I know sometimes we kind of get all caught up in other things. Like we think, "Well, I look at what she's doing. I want to go do that, God," or "what he's doing. Why can't I go do that?" But guess what? He didn't gift me to do her job or his job. He gifted me to do my job. And also, those jobs kind of change over time, right? There was a time when I was a young adult and I did different things. Like I had a Christian band and did stuff with that. Then I was a mom for a while, and I'm still a mom, but kind of long distance. So now I'm doing these videos and I lead women's Bible classes and sing on praise team. So it's important to figure out what your gifts are, where you're in the ministry opportunities are, and just go do those. And don't be looking around and at other people and be jealous, and don't boo-hoo that you can't do this or that. Because, I mean, I would love to do some other ministries that might seem more exciting, but I'm doing right now what God has me to do. And like I said, also those change over time. So be open to new ministries when you enter new stages of life. So those are all important things too. But to hear Him say, "Well done, Nancy, you did what I gave you to do." I can't wait to hear those words. So every day, I'm going to just keep doing what He gives me to do. And I hope you figure out what your ministry is. And if you don't know, you know, ask someone else, a strong Christian person, or ask a friend, "What do you think my gifts are?" And most importantly, pray about it. Because when you pray, God will give you the wisdom and open up the opportunities. Like it says, when you're in fellowship with Him, we have this communication line open, He's going to teach you and just lead you right where you need to be. And you might be surprised what ministry God has for you. Enjoy doing your ministry in your little circle of the world. And I'll see you back here tomorrow. Welcome to My Utmost for His Highest for March 10th. Being an example of His message. Let's look at 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 4. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of His appearing and His kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Being an example of His message. Preach the word. We are not saved only to be instruments for God, but to be His sons and daughters. He does not turn us into spiritual agents. That's kind of funny, like a secret agent, a spiritual agent. But into spiritual messengers, and the message must be a part of us. The Son of God was his own message. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life, John 6:63. As his disciples, our lives must be a holy example of the reality of our message. Even the natural heart of the unsaved will serve if called upon to do so, but it takes a heart broken by conviction of sin, baptized by the Holy Spirit, and crushed into submission to God's purpose to make a person's life a holy example of God's message. There is a difference between giving a testimony and preaching. A preacher is someone who has received the call of God and is determined to use all his energy to proclaim God's truth. God takes us beyond our own aspirations and ideas for our lives and molds and shapes us for his purpose, just as he worked in the disciples' lives after Pentecost. The purpose of Pentecost was not to teach the disciples something, but to make them the incarnation of what they preached so that they would literally become God's message in the flesh. You shall be witnesses to me, Acts 1 verse 8. Allow God to have complete liberty in your life when you speak. Before God's message can liberate other people, his liberation must first be real in you. Gather your material carefully and then allow God to set your words on fire for his glory. I like that last line. Let God set your words on fire for his glory. Isn't that awesome? I love Acts 1:8. You shall be witnesses unto me. When we're here on earth, the goal is not to be the best Olympic athlete or the highest paid CEO or the best singer or the best rock star or anything like that. The thing that we're supposed to do is to be a witness unto him. We're supposed to be reading his word daily and get filled up and then go out and share that with other people and talk to them and tell them about the love of Jesus. And that is just like our main goal. And so I hope today you remember that. And you don't always have to talk about Jesus. You can just do good things for people as well. Because what does that show? Compassion and love. And as Christians, we're supposed to be compassionate and loving. And then when you do those nice things, that kind of opens the door and then those conversations will come. So you don't have to go around, you know, banging people on the head with your Bible, like they say, right? Just go and be a good example, a holy example of how to live, and people will be drawn to you, and then you can share the good news with them. So hope today you are just a living example of God's love to everyone around you. Have a wonderful day doing that, my friends, and I'll see you back here tomorrow.
Thank you for watching. And I would love to answer any questions you have about faith in Jesus or how to grow your faith stronger. Contact me through my website, nancyjoytoyou.com. That's NancyJoy, the number 2, the letter U.com. And if you would like to order your own copy of My Utmost for His Highest, simply go to utmost.org. Thanks for listening today. I hope to see you back here tomorrow as we all grow our faith stronger by reading God's Word.